Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Those watching on the different platforms, thank you so much for doing that. Please follow and like and comment. That helps us get out to more people. And those that would like to be supportive of what we're doing, go to agendaweekly.com to subscribe there. It's $5 a month. That's all it is. And then you get all the things that we offer, and you help support us where we're able to continue doing this. So please consider that. But today we're going to talk about a lot of different key issues going on. So instead of just one topic, it's going to be several different ones. But China preparing for war, what's going on there? We'll talk about that. Major banking system goals for the near future, what are they? The Bank of International Settlements stated some things recently that they'd like to accomplish, and we'll look at that and how it's going to affect you in a major way. Future vaccine distribution models. There's more ways to get vaccines to the people than you might think, and we'll look at some of those. And lastly, we'll go into conditions versus sparks. Michael Yon, who is a war correspondent, talks about those quite a bit, but when you study the conditions that are necessary for a forest fire or for a civil war or for a famine, that gives you a lot of valuable information. If you spend all your time just studying the sparks, what could possibly set off a forest fire? That's a waste of time because there's endless different possibilities. The thing you want to watch most earnestly is the conditions of something. Are all the conditions there for a forest fire or whatever you're looking for? If all the conditions are there, then you know it's going to happen. You just don't know what the particular thing will be that throws the spark in to get it going. But we'll talk about that as well. But thanks again for joining me. A reality that we don't really contemplate too often is that China needs more land for food. That's why they're looking at America. They know that's still probably a few years off, but that's their goal in eventually taking over America. Then they'll have all the farmland in America to use to produce food. Taiwan is a controversial thing that keeps being brought up, that might be what they go for next. It could be, but maybe not. It looks like they're setting things up, and they're slowly closing in on Australia. I heard a general talking this week about that, and it makes a lot of sense. He sees them setting up things all over the different islands around Australia and setting up the situation where if they want to take Australia for the farmland they need, and it'd be a perfect place to do that, they're getting ready to do that. And so that was interesting. But Xi recently, in the last week or so, he gave a speech and he said to the people of China, get ready for war, and in this we need absolute loyalty. That was his two main points. And I thought that was interesting because if you think back over the last year, back last September, October, November, he eliminated or fired many of his top advisors. He was purging the system, you could tell, and some were executed, some were just removed from their positions. And then shortly thereafter, in November, you actually had the protests and things against the communist government, which they just don't have very often over there. And then they were able to finally get those under control. And it seems like the probability of war is very high to me because I know war helps unify. Politicians in America have done that forever. Get us into a war and then all of a sudden everyone's unified because we're in a common cause together. But I believe it could possibly happen sooner than later because they need the land, they need the food, but they need to unify the people around a common cause, and that would be something they could do to also ease the pressure of creating enough food for their people. Then on to the banking system. We know there's a lot of things they're planning, like the CBDC, a digital currency that will give them total control of things. But we see them right now already setting things up for that world, even though it hasn't come quite yet. One of the things they're working to get is a unified ledger for the world. And so that's like an accounting ledger, so that they have every asset in the entire world on one ledger. This is every home in the world. This is every vehicle in the world. This is every, you know, piece of property, every stock, everything in the world on one ledger, so they can see it very clearly, because that will help them then when they get the CBDC to have control. They'll have a system to put it all into to keep track of everybody. But the Bank of International Settlements, they were talking about recently how they want to tokenize all assets. Now, what that means is everything then, once we enter that digital world, will just be like a token there that you can get or give or, you know, whatever, pay for things and stuff. So that means even like a, if you have a trailer or something, or a car or a home, where you normally had a paper title in the past, that will be a thing of the past. That your house will just be a token and it'll be in your account. But what that means when you do away with the paper title, and you do away with the court system that would allow maybe a bank to take that house from you if you haven't made your payments or something, that's all gone. All they have to do is push a button, and then the house, which is a token now, goes to their account. And it's really sobering once everything is tokenized, because then it's all digital, even things that are, no, that's physical. No, it's digital. The ownership of it is digital. And you know, if you had an environmental violation or you didn't pay your carbon tax or whatever, they can just hit a button and your home, you don't own it anymore. The title has gone to them and they are the owner of your home or your car or whatever it might be. So it's a clear thing, again, they're getting in place. So when that digital currency comes out and everything goes digital, it will literally be everything going digital. Not just your physical money. It will be the things you own, your tractor, your lawnmower, all those things. When you buy your lawnmower at the store, a digital token will go into your account saying that's your lawnmower. But again, likewise, they could take that out of there and say, no, they lost that lawnmower because they mowed their lawn too much and it created too much carbon and now it's not theirs anymore. That's what they're doing. So it's pretty crazy. Of course, the digital ID fits into this framework as well. And I think that was one of the main purposes of COVID and the COVID passport, which they kind of started in Europe and then it kind of faded. But it was setting up the framework so that everyone realized, oh, I have to have a digital ID because I need it just to exist in this world. And they want that world again. So then when the CBDCs come out and everything else, they know who you are. And they know where to put all the tokens for everything you own. And then they know where to find those tokens if they ever feel like, well, they haven't done the right thing or they're patriotic, so they're going to lose those tokens. That's a penalty for going against the state and being a domestic terrorist or whatever. But anyway, you can clearly see those things setting up with what's going on right now today. And it should shake us up in a good way to go, I got to stay out of this system. I've got to say no to all these different things. And we'll talk more about those solutions at the end. Another key area that I was studying this week is the future of vaccines. We know in the world they're creating with the digital ID and the digital passport and the digital currencies and everything, they need a system to control the people and to know who is obeying and who isn't obeying, so they know whose tokens to take and where to give tokens to. And that's what they're setting up the parameters where you can tell that just it's complete dictatorship, but you don't even know it. It's just a push of the button and you're eliminated. But vaccines play a major part in that. They say they want to have in the next 5 to 10 years, 320 mandatory vaccines people need to take. That's them talking. That's not me saying that. And so you're like, oh my goodness. They realize it's a money machine, one, but then they also realize, Bill Gates in particular, they realize a lot of people don't want to take these. And so I don't even know if they'll tell us when they actually get to the stage of doing some of these things, because that's how evil they are. But mosquitoes being used to vaccinate people, they've already done it. I was reading some studies where they have done it in test cases to see how it worked, and it did work. where they genetically modified the mosquito and then it bit people and they did the studies on them. Yes, it did what they were it was supposed to do. They also, like the photo I'm putting on the screen right there, that picture you're looking at is from 2000, how they are going to engineer vaccines into the food. So 23 years ago, they're talking about we need to just engineer the food, genetically modify it, where it's giving people the vaccine when they eat the potatoes or the carrots or the tomatoes. Again, being food self-sufficient is very important, and we'll talk more about that in the future. But do you see that? That's amazing. That's 2000. That's 23 years ago. They were already working on that. Another one I heard them talking about this week was an aerosol vaccine. So they've tried it with chickens and different animals where they just spray a mist into the air and the chickens breathe it in and then they check them. Yeah, they're totally vaccinated for whatever they were spraying into the air for them. It goes into the sinuses and it does whatever it needs to do to vaccinate you for that. So, but as we look at some of those things, I was looking in Gavi, which is the group, you know, Bill Gates has to vaccinate the world. They just ordered 18 million doses of a malaria vaccine for America. And that's disturbing because you go, what's that for? Because right now no one takes a malaria vaccine in America. So that's weird. And then they said that the demand for the vaccine in America, the malaria vaccine, by 2030, so 6.5 years, they go, will be 100 million doses a year. That's 4 shots for each child. That's what they're saying. So is there going to be a malaria outbreak? I don't know. They could easily do that through the illegals coming in. They could do it through putting it in mosquitoes and releasing them, as he's done with a lot of mosquitoes, to cut the mosquito population supposedly or whatever. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting when I came across that. I go, wow, they're planning for a malaria outbreak, which again, we've learned when they say, oh, this is probably going to happen in the future and it's something that doesn't happen and hasn't happened, you realize, oh, that's what they're planning. And so when it happens, they'll say, we told you this was going to happen, as if they're the good guys informing us about what has happened. It's something to think about, because a malaria outbreak would also be something that fits into their plan. It creates tremendous poverty when malaria is spread, because a lot of the people, 200 million people a year in poor countries, are so incapacitated by being so sick they can't work. 200 million. So that's why the poor countries stay so poor, because we don't allow them to get rid of the mosquitoes like they should be able to do with DDT or something. And so then it's just sickness. And little children, they die from it. But adults just are sick and have to stay in bed. And so if that were to happen in America, then yes, that would help create a tremendous amount of dependency on the system when you can't work because you just don't feel very good. So the problem with all these things is there's no laws or regulations governing them, because it's all such new stuff. There's no law saying you can't genetically modify a mosquito and let it go to poison other people or to vaccinate them or whatever. There's no laws or rules or regulations, because all this is going so fast. It's never been done. So anyway, but Bill Gates has some TED Talks talking about what his plans are for mosquitoes in the future. But we see a lot of this stuff going on right now, and it's kind of disturbing. Speaking of vaccines, some key things I learned this week that I hadn't heard specifically before. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was speaking about the agreement the news agencies had during COVID. It was actually a signed agreement, and the name of it was Trust the News Initiative. They always use things just like that. But the Washington Post had signed on, the UPI News Service, the AP News Service. I mean, both of those news services are the ones that funnel the news to every other news service in the world almost. All the social media companies like Microsoft, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, they all had signed on to it too. And they said in there they would only broadcast government propaganda. censoring all opposition, no matter who it was from, if it was doctors, whatever. We saw that. We lived through that. It didn't matter how respected the doctor or anything. If they said something that went against the CDC, it's censored. That's the end of that. It was not just on COVID in the agreement, but also on the Hunter Biden laptop. And Robert F. Kennedy has a video below that goes into more details. And he said on his website, there's a lot more details about this. But I thought it was important to bring up. So what we saw happening, it was a coordinated, organized, specific assault on the freedom of speech. And more important than the freedom of speech, it was an assault on the truth. And they said they did this, and this is stated in their internal communications. The purpose was to crush all alternative media voices, because they thought if they can censor the voices on YouTube and different places, like I got completely censored, then it was going to cut the funding to those voices. They have no way to get funding because nobody knows about them, and so it would eliminate them. So then it's just the propaganda machine of the government speaking. Anyway, that's what we lived through, and I know you know that, but when you see, it was all in writing, it was all planned out, and we've learned since then, all the propaganda points they were pushing were complete lies. All of them were to make the pandemic worse, to cause more death, to cause more damage to human beings, to businesses, to the economy, and that was all purposeful, and they think we're going to trust them? I don't think so. But here's something that's really good news on that point. Because the resistance we put forth was successful, their plans were to vaccinate 90 to 95% of everyone. And the reason they had to get that high a vaccination rate is then if there was any adverse effects, it would be, oh, that's a new disease or something that's come out. It had nothing to do with the shot. It would be so large, the number of people, there wouldn't be a good control group. But that didn't happen. In America, it looks like only about 60% of the people got a shot, and half of those just got one shot and then stopped because they realized, wait a minute, this doesn't look good. So the resistance, all of us that didn't get the shot, it gives us the control group. So now you can compare health circumstances in the control group to health circumstances in the vax group. And that's what we're seeing. And it's unbelievable what's coming out now. Look at the charts on the screen right now, and I hope you can read that. But those are the death rates and things. And there where it turns red, that's when the vaccines came out and were given. And as you can see on all of them, death just skyrocketed after the vaccine started, not before. And so anyway, that's really sobering when you look at that. But those facts are coming out. And we can see the death rates in those that are unvaccinated have remained level, and those in the vaccinated have skyrocketed. And so the more people that are educated to that is just fantastic. Because then people realized those were death shots. Those were things that were harmful to human beings. And they didn't stop you from getting COVID or transmitting COVID, all the things they told us we do. It didn't do any of that, but it caused all these issues to break down our immune systems, where now we're more susceptible to everything. But it's so wonderful we have this huge control group, so we know that. And so they'll know that, more importantly, the people that got vaccinated, when they start to have all these different cancers and myocarditis and all these things, they won't be able to be lied to anymore by those people when they say, well, this is just something your body came up with. It has nothing to do with the vax. Because they'll look at the control group and go, how come none of them are having those problems and those issues? Anyway, the left hates competition. They always do, because it exposes the lie. That's why those of you that are homeschooling, and I know there's a lot of homeschoolers that watch this, they're coming after you soon. They're going to. They have to. Because homeschoolers prove the government school system is a complete failure. You just look at the test scores. You just look at the individual people, the successfulness of the lives lived after homeschooling and after government schools. In every single category possible, you see, oh my goodness, this is such a failure, complete failure. They have these kids for 13, 14 years, and a huge percentage of them still can't even read. That's how bad it's getting, because they're not focused on reading, writing, and arithmetic anymore. It's on all the causes, all the ways that can stir them up to be radicals and to hate this country and to hate those who love this country. That's the point of it. But that's why, again, they hate this control group. They hate homeschoolers. They hate, again, anything that exposes them for the failures that they are.
When the truth comes out that you killed millions of people with a vaccine that wasn't a vaccine, you don't get a month in a cushy little prison resort and then go back to your billions. You end up at the end of a rope where you probably belong.
Yes.
So if the truth comes out, it's game over. That's why I said this is winner takes all. So these guys aren't going to go peacefully into the night, because there is no peacefully into the night for them, right? So this is a win or lose thing. This isn't a negotiation. This isn't a barter thing. This isn't a, hey, well, you know, maybe we can get these guys to back down. No, there is no backing down. They're billionaires. They aren't going to lose everything. They'd be dead sooner than they'd give up everything, especially their money and power. So this is something that we either win or we lose. I said, you got to understand something. We've won this fight as long as we continue fighting it. And what do you mean we've won? They're not going away. No, they're not going away. And we're going to lose millions more people. But we have a control group, and we've got enough people who have stood and were awake enough that there's now enough suspicion that we have a legitimate group of people who will stand against this tyranny. And there's enough of us globally and in the United States standing against this tyranny that freedom will end up winning. We are winning. We've just got to continue waking people up, continue expanding that army of freedom warriors, continue educating people, continue filing lawsuits, continue doing what we're doing.
We have proof now that you premeditatedly did all this to destroy human life, to cut global population, and the evidence is there now. And we being the control group, which as the future unfolds, is going to be powerful, because they're going to have more and more issues and more problems. And the more shots people have, the more problems they're going to have. But everyone's going to start to see that because we didn't give in. Again, if 95% of people in every country of the world would have gotten the shot, then you can't say for sure what's going on. The control group is so small. Well, we don't really know what happened. I think there's just a new disease going around, or a new virus, or something like that. And so, but now that's not going to happen. But we need to continue standing against the evil, waking others to the globalist lies. They're getting ready to do it again by 2025, because they need something to then implement the passports. And I think it's going to be a more potent bioweapon, like they've told us, that kills more children than adults. And we in the control group must keep fighting, because over time our resistance will expose the lies. As the guinea pig group gets more and more shots and newer shots, it will be clear to all at some point that the COVID was a weapon. The shots were a weapon. The Catastrophic Contagion 2025 conference was a weapon. The bioengineered food is a weapon. The climate hoax is a weapon. And with the Lord's help, then we could have the Nuremberg 2.0 trials to make sure justice is served for this crime that it makes even the communist countries' crimes look like a joke. And I've studied that my whole life, and they are so wicked and so vile. The left always focuses on Nazi Germany, you know, which had 10 million deaths or whatever, which is a lot, obviously. But they don't look at the communist world that had 150 plus million deaths and more than that, because just in China alone, there was at least 500 million forced abortions. That's 500 million more deaths. And then today, all the ones that are going on that there's no record being kept of, all the harvesting of the organs and things like that. But this is something that, as you've destroyed the reproductive ability of billions of people, you've destroyed the immune systems of billions of people, I think it's just going to keep rolling over the next 10, 15, 20 years where billions of those people are going to die and it's going to be obvious what happened. A storm just popped up outside and it is pouring down rain. You can probably hear that a little bit. Sorry about that. But so as you see those things I just talked about, the reality that more and more people are going to become awakened over every year that goes by because they're going to see they were lied to. That's when I want to bring up now the conditions versus the spark idea. And Michael Yon, who's the war correspondent, talks about this all the time in different realities. But for example, the forest fire analogy. Out west, I lived for 20 years, and the forests there, starting in the 1980s, they wouldn't let them manage them anymore to save the environment. So they weren't able to go in and cut the dead trees and remove the fallen trees and things like that, and the diseased trees. So they just started leaving them there. I remember hiking through some of the mountains in Montana a few years back, and it was shocking to me that the fuel load on the ground is 3 feet high. Half of the trees that are standing are dead and diseased because the forests are so unhealthy. And so those are all conditions. When you see there's just old growth trees, you see that many are that are standing are diseased or dead and they're dried out. You look at the deadfall on the ground, you say, oh, the conditions for a forest fire are tremendous. Because the fuel load is there. All it's going to take is one spark, and once that gets going, it's going to burn so hot, you will not be able to put it out. And that's what happens almost every summer because they have not managed the forest and taken care of them like they should. So when those conditions are in place, and you ask the question, is there going to be a forest fire? You know the answer is yes, 100%. Now, from what? That's the question that, a lot of people spend all their time focusing on. Will it be lightning? Would it be a match, a cigarette, a campfire that's left going? And too many people just focus on that. What's the spark going to be? Instead of looking at the conditions, the spark doesn't matter because you know at some point a spark will come and there'll be a forest fire. The conditions are what you need to spend your time studying. And you know 100%. There's going to be a forest fire out west soon. If they're not already going, they will be soon because there's always a spark available from something. And so, but as I look at our country and you look at, will there ever be a civil war? You just look at the conditions and you say, wait a minute, there is so many conditions right before our eyes that you go, it looks very likely. Because they're all purposely being pushed. For instance, some of the conditions are how crime is being encouraged coast to coast. It's being encouraged because it's not being prosecuted like it should be, and so it's skyrocketing everywhere. Well, there's a point when people start to feel unsafe wherever they are. They get armed, and then they start defending themselves since they realize nobody else is going to defend me. And they start retaliating against people because they know justice is not going to be served and justice needs to be served. That's the right thing. And so then you start getting the death wish vigilantes that say, well, if they're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. And so they step in and do that. We see worldwide the conditions for famine are being created all over. Closing farms, wars, outlawing the use of nitrogen to fertilize the soils. So you see, okay, they're creating this conflict. Famines will create a civil war so quickly. Anywhere you look, there's been famines. People rise up and they do whatever they need to do to get food. And so you see this. It's also a great excuse, and I believe it's why they're doing it, to move people. When whole countries are starving to death, they'll go, oh, we've got to move these people because there's no food where they are. You know, and so then they keep migrating people to all the freedom-loving countries to water down their population. And we talked about that not too long ago. But that's a key thing. But as more famines and wars and things happen and pandemics, it creates what Michael Young calls human osmotic pressure. It starts creating pressure on people where they have to move because of the war. I got to get away from the war, or the famine. I got to go where there's food, or the pandemic. I got to get out of here. And all those feed on each other. And a lot of times they keep getting worse and worse. A lot of people think in America, that's not going to happen. But in America, if you have millions and millions of illegals, probably between 20 and 30 million illegals here, and we continue to have high inflation, and then the economy starts dying off more so that there's not jobs, then they're going to start going out and pillaging the farms, which makes sense. They're going to start pillaging and shoplifting at the stores. And so the more that happens, it creates a worse cycle, because then you've got the farmers going, well, I'm not even going to farm because all my stuff is taken out of the field before I even bring it in. And I don't have the money to keep farming without having anything to sell. And so then some of the farms the next year are not even farmed. And so then there's a bigger famine and a bigger famine. And then wars break out over the food supply and on and on. It's a great way to create tremendous chaos. Power outages or high prices for energy are another great way. We talked about not too long ago the Department of Justice claiming that in the near future, the MAGA Republicans are going to sabotage the power grid, which means that's what they're going to do. And so that would create tremendous conditions for civil war. When you do not have power, which means you do not have refrigeration, which means you're going to be starving soon if you haven't prepared. Again, it keeps throwing fuel on the fire. It's like those forests out in Idaho and Montana and Colorado. It's the fuel's there, every type imaginable. And so when the fire gets going, you can't put it out. Division is being created at every level among everyone. They don't even want a left and a right anymore. There used to be some unity on the left and some unity on the right, but they're trying to divide the left into 1,000 different splinter groups that they can all use. And many of those groups are starting to go against each other. Like the feminists are starting to go against the transgender community, saying you can't have biological males competing in women's athletics. Otherwise, there's no more athletics for women, which is true. So you're getting divisions. Everything's starting to splinter. And that's why I think the conditions for a civil war are just ripe, just to happen. The left-right divide, even amongst these groups, people that love America and people that hate America, they've been taught this is the most evil country that has ever existed, and it needs to be destroyed. And then the black-white issue, the blacks are being taught that whites are the ones that have kept you down, and they must be destroyed. And so all these things stirring up. They're ignoring the people. So the tension in the average person is escalating, because you feel like, man, they won't listen to me. I didn't think this election was free and fair. Can't they just at least investigate it instead of calling me a conspiracy theorist for saying it didn't look right to me when I saw people running ballots multiple times through voting machines on their cameras that we got access to, and they're running the same ballots through. Why wasn't that ever addressed? You know, those things start to make the average person feel the tension. They're also purposefully provoking angst among the people. When you raid a former president's home, you know all the 80 plus million people that voted for him are going to be fuming mad. And that's what they did it for. They want to create the conditions for a civil war. They naively think they can win it or get control of it, which they can't. But it's horrible for the rest of us. None of us want a civil war. No one on the left or the right. We do not want that. There might be a fringe on the left, the upper echelons of the communists and things like that. They want it so they can take advantage of it. But the average Democrat does not want a civil war, and the average Republican does not want a civil war. They want to live a quiet and peaceable life. Then you got the whole equity, diversity, inclusion agenda, where it's rewarding people for not being qualified and penalizing others for being qualified. Oh, you're qualified, you have character, you don't get the job. So it's creating where everyone's going to hate everyone. I mean, that's their goal in this. We can't do that. We can't fall prey to their lies. But that's what this is trying to do. It's just trying to set the conditions where then when they're ready at the right time, they're going to flip in the match and boom, it's going to go. And we need to pray that doesn't happen. And that if it's going to happen, they throw the match in at the wrong time and they lose control. And those that love freedom and love God and love what is right are able to successfully take back the country for truth and righteousness. But all these things I've talked about, having another pandemic so that there's another vaccine, so there's more ways to get control, the banking system, getting the digital IDs and tokenizing everything, all those things are about are control. They want to control everything. The digital ID is to control every human on the planet because then they know who they are. And then the digital banking system is to control everything else. Every piece of property is in there. Every commodity, every asset is all listed on their ledger and they know where it is and they know how to get it when they want it. So they want to do all that too so there won't be a black market. There'll be no private sales between people. There'll be no unrecorded exchanges. Everything's listed on there. So if you own a gun, it's in their register as a token. If you sell to someone, you have to transfer the token so they know where everything is every second of the day at every time. They want to control the assets, the financial transactions, the healthcare system, carbon use, food consumption, energy used, habits, beliefs, actions. And we must say no to all that. That's really the path to victory. Just like when we said no to the shot, millions and millions of Americans, because there was alternative news sources and we read about it, we studied it and go, I don't trust this thing. Thankfully, that was all still there when they tried for the final assault. And there was tens of millions that said, uh-uh. But we need to continue doing that. That breaks up their monopoly of power when we say no to the toxic medicines, no to the medical industry, no to digital IDs, no to the CBDC system and the carbon footprint monitoring that they're starting to baby step into things. Say no to that. Any business that's giving you your carbon footprint receipt, say I'm not doing business with you anymore. Carbon is wonderful for the planet. It's plant food and we don't have enough of it. When they try to introduce carbon taxes, we have to say no. Lockdowns can never happen again for any reason. No GMO corporate food systems. Again, we don't know when they're going to start putting the vaccines in the food. They might already be doing stuff like that. We need to really work to find local solutions and sources for everything that we consume. We've got to do that. That's a key action item. If you haven't done that yet, wherever you live, if you need to drive out into the country a little bit, you find local farms that have local produce and local animals right there. You can go see that they're taking good care of them and they're healthy and they're strong and they're not pumping them full of chemicals and things. And you say, I want to start buying your stuff from you. And they'll say, oh, that's wonderful. And it keeps them afloat in business. Encourage farmers, you know, get out of that corporate food disaster. They need to start doing things locally, healthfully, and getting in touch with their customers. It will build stability in what they're doing as well. We need to say no to all government educational systems. No to the K-12, no to college and universities, no, no, no. We need to say no. It's all indoctrination. Just this week, I was talking to my mom and some of these sweet homeschool kids that she'd spent a lot of time with and had really come out well. They went to college, though, because they believed, no, we need to get an engineering degree or whatever. And one of them talked to their mother this week and said, I don't believe in God anymore, and I think all that's a lie. Someone that was raised in a Christian home by good parents and was sharp and well-educated, but they were brainwashed by their professors. No to colleges and universities. Period. Start your own business. Read Rich Dad, Poor Dad if you want to learn the successful ways to make money, create money, and grow money. We need to say no. It's not worth losing your children. I'd rather my children work in the fields harvesting someone else's crops all the days of their life and be free and be where they're sharp and they understand what is true and what is false and they love God and they love what is right than to be the president of General Mills and be some horrible, vile wretch. We need to say no to the tracking, tracing, surveilling. We need to get rid of the technologies that are absolutely necessary for us to make money with. Anything that's not making you money, get rid of it. There's no point to it. And then the more money you can make, it's a blessing because then you can work less so you have more time to invest in things that are eternal. I think the 2024 election could be the trigger. It could be the spark they flip in. They could have Trump get robbed again, even though he's leading by 30 points in the polls. And that could be a spark. When people realize we do not have elections for sure anymore, the third election in a row that's been stolen. And again, Biden versus Trump is so dramatic. Biden has destroyed our country from 75% of the people's point of view. And Trump has the highest rating almost any president has ever had of popularity. Well, you know, he would win in a landslide, 100 million plus votes. But if that didn't happen, we'd know, okay, now we are slaves for sure. We didn't just think it. And then there's only one solution to that problem. So that could be the trigger. Or they could do this. And I think this would be smarter if they did this. But sometimes their pride blinds them to what is best. They let Trump win. So then it destroys our whole account of 2020 and 2022. But then they unleash a series of bioweapons to destroy everything like they did in 2020 that are serious. They maybe stir up some war situations where things are just chaotic, not because of Trump, but because they're trying to take down his presidency and prove to everyone once and for all, you can't have a conservative in there ever again. Or it could be something else that I'm not thinking of. But I know the spark and the match will be flipped in at just the right time from their perspective. But we need to pray God blinds them to that and they don't do it at the right time with the right thing. And it's all exposed and it helps us take back the land. It is crystal clear that all the conditions have been met and the polarization of the people because of the government propaganda has been successful. So the spark could be a million different things. But whenever it comes, the fire will begin because of two key things that we know, two facts. One, those in power clearly are hungry for totalitarian control. We see that in everything they're pushing forward. So that's one fact. Secondly, millions worldwide have awakened to how evil big government is and to the reality they have been lied to their entire life and they are now done with the control. So those two things together are deadly. One group trying to grab more power while the other group's refusing to be controlled like that. When that happens, okay, it's going to happen. I do believe it's going to happen. I'm not looking forward to it or wanting it to happen. But you see the conditions, you study conditions, you go, all the conditions are there. All it needs is a spark and it will happen. And so we need to be prepared for that reality. And like I've said in the past, I'm encouraged in that so many people have awakened on our side and more seem to awaken each day because of all the lies that have been told and the way they're being exposed by the control group having good health and everybody else getting sick and having all these problems. So that is awakening more each day. So that's good. But the people in power are not going to allow themselves to be put in prison as consequences for their actions or whatever. So they will keep sidetracking us with more wars, famines, whatever disasters, diseases, plagues, pandemics, anything they can put at us, they will. And we just need to be ready for that. Our verse for this week is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Even when I have a talk like this, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That should encourage you. He knew when the world was falling apart, he wanted you to be there. He wanted me to be here. So that means we have a purpose. We have a plan. We were born for such a time as this, as you know. But we need to remember that. Are we fulfilling that plan? Are we preparing? Are we witnessing? Are we standing for the truth? Are we doing the things we can do? Because in the midst of all this, we know we're going to accomplish exactly what God has put us here on earth if we're faithful. And if we have a thankful heart for his many blessings he has given us, just the fact I can do this, just the fact that even though they've done so much censorship and so much control of things, we can still talk freely. You can listen to Agenda Weekly, and there's many other things you can listen to and still get truth. Well, that's wonderful. We need to give thanks for that. But we need to realize God has a plan, and when we're being obedient, that means we're in his will, and we can know he's in control. He's got it all figured out. We just have to have done what we can do to obey. That's the duty of the Christian. Happy, obey, wise. That's what I used to always tell my children when they were little. Just be happy, obey, and doing those two things together will make you wise. So until next week, God bless you.